Hey soccer friends, I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of TeamPlayer's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us. And come give TeamPlayer a look.
Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them. Hello and welcome back to Chat by the Pitch. This is Ian Babcock, your host. This week is part two with Jeremy Elder from Soccer Innovations. Once again, I loved our chat, where it went and how it went. So let's start this chat and head to the pitch.
Being someone that kind of understands like the tech versus paper mentality, do you think with your growing up, you were, because we had a pretty good pre-chat before this the interview started, do you think the values and the lessons your parents taught you going at a young age now transitions better looking back? You made a comment that you felt like you were a burden on your dad at a young age, or do you think he was planning and prepping you for your future? Because it's not a burden if he's spending time with you. It's teaching you, educating you. It may look like a burden at the moment, but I mean, the lessons you taught were taught that you were subconsciously getting, but subconsciously not understanding. I have that backwards. Subconsciously understanding, but not consciously understanding.
No, I when I meant by a burden, I think it was the financial burden of bringing me along when they had like zero money.
I got you.
It could also be a many ways. I was probably teasing him and you know, getting upset as to why we had to walk or whatever in the cold, because we couldn't afford to pay a taxi cab when we were traveling internationally or whatever, or riding the bus or the train and not renting a car. But honestly, I think he was certainly prepping me from an early age with learning. Just his way might be school of hard knocks. You know, you just learn by doing and trial and error and figuring it out and not just relying on somebody else. So my dad always preached to me, Jeremy, you need to be low maintenance. And my whole life I've lived by that, by a couple things. My dad's saying of be low maintenance. So I've always wanted to be in anything that I do. I try to be low maintenance, whether I'm as a kid and I was going to my friend's house and staying over, you know, making my bed, tidying up, throwing my trash away, not demolishing their house, being polite, yes, sir, no, ma'am, so that I was a blessing to have at somebody's house versus terrorizing their house and not caring. And the other lesson came from my grandfather, which is my dad's dad. goes by Opa in my world. And he said, he always preached to me about the five P's. So I got my dad's method, and then my grandpa's is the five P's, which is prior preparation prevents poor performance. And between the two of those, I feel like I've found my success through those two sayings. As everything that I do, if everybody knows me, I like things to be done properly, not half-assed, not just doing it to do it. Like when whatever I do, if I'm cleaning toilets, I want to be the best toilet cleaner. Like it doesn't, I don't care that it's cleaning toilets. I'll out clean whoever the best janitor is. And that's just my way of doing things, because I think you should be prepared, know who your competition is, what the expectations are, and to communicate those expectations so that it's a pleasurable experience from anyone. And my if my grandpa was the five P's, and my dad was all the good things that my dad did, for me, mine is, I have up here, it's be the customer. And I always put myself, when there are issues with anything in the business, I put myself in the shoes of the customer. And I feel like today that's somewhat of a lost art. So every decision that I make is if I was actually in that person's shoes. And I legit honestly think I can put myself in a lot of people's shoes in their situations, because I ask them what's going on, what's the need, blah blah blah. And I have all these leading questions into that help me give a decision that I would want as the customer. And oftentimes I love bad experiences, as bad as that might be to say, because then those bad experiences are the one and only opportunity you can turn someone into a lifetime customer very easily, because they'll be very upset automatically with their guard up, thinking this every company wants to screw them. I go in there and I just say, what do you want me to do? Like, what would be the best scenario in this situation for you? How could I handle that? How would you like me to handle that? And you kind of get like a, I don't know, a gasp isn't the right word, a pause from them, because they're not expecting that, nor are they expecting a phone call from the owner. So between those two things, they almost feel like this is a trick, and they'll say whatever it is that they say, and I'll say done, no problem. And so you turn a very bad 1-star experience into a 5-star experience, lifetime customer who will never go anywhere else. And those people now are the people who talk. So they'll go out and they're telling all their buddies what happened working with Jeremy at Soccer Innovations. And they'll be like, man, this ball wouldn't hold air or whatever. And then I called them and I was like, they're going to screw me. And then all of a sudden he was like, what do you want me to do? And he's like, oh, I'll take a new ball. And I'm like, okay, done. And then they go, all these people are great. It doesn't matter, yada, yada. I just want to make sure that everybody, gets what they pay for. And I expect the same. So why would I not run my business the same way I would expect other companies to do for me? If I want, I should be like my own. If I expect that from other companies, I should do the same as a business owner. And I can't always please everybody, and everybody knows that. It's no rocket science in today's climate, where everything is polarizing. Is the dress, was it gold or blue or something like that, or black or white? I don't remember what is going around on social media,
Oh,
but
yeah. What color is the dress?
In today's world, you're never going to be right 100% of the time, but you want to be more right than wrong. And I always try to do right. So being the customer is my kind of philosophy here at the business, and I expect my staff to think in the same way. And they get lots of compliments from customers through that. But even a bad experience, a small business, done right, can can take a bad customer and make them into like your greatest fan. And sometimes people, you just got to be human. We use the term often around here in social media is to humanize our business. And in social media posts, it's us. Like what you see is what you get. We're not, we don't go through like a process that says, does this meet our brand standard? Or you know, it have to have like 50 edits. Like we're like a one shot take thing, and it's just natural. And we just try to humanize and relate to people. And I think that's where we've had the natural growth because we haven't paid for advertising. I haven't advertised in 4 years. And we've had
That's
steady growth. And if
impressive.
most people know, like you have to spend money to make money. As far as like advertising, you know, maybe in some industries it's 10% of your revenue. If your revenue is $2 million, that means your advertising budget's 200,000. So if we're doing $2 million and I have zero ad spend, that's $200,000 I can put towards a new employee or new machinery or upgrade software, and everybody benefits in that way. And it's a very hard thing to do. Is to grow a business with no advertising. You have to create a culture, and you have to relate to people, and then they have to be able to spread the word. So, in order to do all those things, that's a very fine art to do. And we've caught the attention of a lot of big people because we stuck to our guns and never like gave in. And I think that's what makes us Soccer Innovations is all these ups and downs. And I have a million stories, Ian. But this is kind of just the gist, the quick one, so we don't have any people snoozing out there wanting to hear all of my boring stories. Or and I'm telling you, my dad, one of the greatest storytellers out there, and he has stories out the wazoo that'll make everybody love him and our business more than me. And I learn a lot of my abilities from my dad, more so in talking in person. Podcast is probably like my second podcast I've ever done. So I hope I sound okay and not too boring. But if you give me a microphone in a group of a few hundred people, that's ultimately where I shine. I like to work a crowd. I like to get the crowd excited. If you ever been to an event where I'm speaking, if the crowd's not interacting, then I'm doing something wrong. I just love to interact with people. I think I'm a natural born salesman, and I get that from my dad, who was a medical salesman. And I'm a people person, and I'm very much in person. So I'm a very in person person, and someone out there in this world, my biggest accolade for me in the small business, somewhere out there, someone nominated me to be a top executive for Dallas of 2023, and I was actually awarded it. I mean, I was up there. I'm not sure if American Airlines was on the list, but I know like Southwest was, Albertsons. It's whoever's based in Dallas. Is American Airlines based in Dallas or
The
not?
American is based. It would be Doug Parker last year, yeah.
So I think then American Airlines was on there, some hospitals, big name people were on there. And there's my freaking 36 year old self on a list of all these accomplished C-suite executives. And somehow I got nominated. They interviewed me and I ended up 13 on the list. And my lovely wife, I got here. Framed it for me in on a surprise. So I guess it's published about a year ago. And I think it says
Awesome.
top 25
Yeah,
C-suite
C-suite.
executives of Dallas for 2023. And that's kind of my, that's the thing as a small business, you're never patted on the back. It's a very lonely at the top kind of position. And you have to figure things out yourself. You have to be very motivated. Self-motivated because nobody's gonna pat you on the back, and you're gonna be always the person who's left with problems. So whatever, there's a lot of down stuff that you have to be able to just, you have to have thick skin, be positive, and just get better. And without someone cheering you on, like in maybe a corporate business, like your boss is like, man, that was good. You know, good job on that report, or you accomplished this thing in record time. And I don't have any of that stuff. Like the record time is, I'm not timing anything. I just got to work fast and fast and efficient. And you obviously know I've had just dealing with me for like a week. Like my schedule is just a, can you even get a hold of me? I have my poor friend Clint. I told him I would talk like Sunday night with him, but I had some car issues, whatever. So I'm out working on my car shit just so I can get to work on time today to meet this podcast. And I couldn't even answer his phone calls. So it's my personal life is sacrificed for the business. And then trying to work with other people on short notice is chaos for me, especially in our growing phase here at Soccer Innovations. And it's just a challenge, a small business, but I would, it's a very rewarding challenge, and I'm very proud to be a part of Small Business America.
So, kind of taking the step back of looking at the business, you said you've been in charge, if I wrote it down right, for 8 years, correct?
Yeah, 8 to 10 years.
8 to 10 years. So, with being a family business and your sister coming in taking over social media, do you find it to be, do you feel like you're more in tune with the community? And because you guys are a family, you guys are interacting in the community and your kids are part of the community. You grew up here. Do you find it to be, you spend more time in the community than anything else?
Yeah, I think working with family shoots you straight. You know, they're not afraid to tell you anything. Like if you're doing one little thing bad, your family members, excuse me, whether they're beneath you in the hierarchy or above you in the hierarchy, they shoot you straight. Whereas everybody else might be afraid to tell you something. So you can never get better if people aren't like calling you out on your shortcomings. You might think you're doing just fine, but you're really not. You just got people who are maybe too scared to tell you to your face that you suck at speaking online, you know, or your lighting's terrible. Like they're like, oh, that was a good video, you know, because they want to just pat you on the back all the time because they probably want a raise or a promotion or to be on your good side, or maybe they were late to work that day and they're trying to, you know, make you forget that. Whereas the family would be like, dude, you sucked. Like, or you need to adjust your lighting, or I think you had a booger in your nose, you know, or anything like that. So working with family, I think definitely makes you a better business person. And I don't remember what the other sides were, but as far as in the community, I'm more aware of what's going on in the community because I'm a business owner. And if I'm not, I feel like I'm not in tune with my customers. So I think it's very important that I am in tune with the customers and getting feedback from them. And as a local business with a lot of friends in the soccer world, through my dad and through my own, excuse me, through my own friends now who are obviously they're rising up the ranks, they tell me the truth. And they're not gonna hide things like a normal customer might. My friends will be like, dude, this ball is awesome, or dude, this ball sucks. Or, you know, like they're very straightforward and they don't hold anything back. And so I think that's also a very a valuable asset when you're involved with the community and you make friends in the community. They tell you how to make your business better. So it's almost easier than letting your business fail because you weren't addressing the things that everybody else saw but yourself. So it's very vital that my friends in the community tell me straight up like what can be better, or how could it be better, or this other company does it this way and I like that better than what yours is. And so for me, that's, I'm like, that lights a fire under me, man. I'm like, oh heck no, I'm gonna make my product better. And if someone didn't have the guts to say that to my face, nobody would end up buying my product and I would suffer and my employees would suffer. So I truly honor people telling the truth. And even here in the office, I tell them all, like, look, I'll never get mad if you tell me you made a mistake. Not that I get mad, but I'll get frustrated or internally mad, but I'll never like get mad or be mad at anybody as long as you tell me you made the mistake. Like the only way we can address a problem is to address or fix a problem is to address it. And so if they don't tell me they made a mistake, then I can't find a way to prevent that mistake from happening again. And that's where I feel like I have a lot of value because they'll be like, oh, this is happening. And then I'm like, okay, what policies can we put into place that will prevent you from forgetting to fill a back order from 6 months ago? Right. How do we set that up? And what options are there? To give you an example, we have this long process of custom making team shelters, which are like the baseball dugouts that teams go under, very popular in high school and college scenarios. And there's a lot of moving pieces and it's a long production cycle. And where is it in the production cycle? And when the customer calls and they want to know an update, like before we were writing on whiteboards and you have one customer done, there's all these gaps in between cross outs and you forget to write some up because somebody calls, yada, yada. So they came to me and it's like, hey, we're having problems with, staying on track of time or where the process is. And so I basically found this software. It's very popular software called monday.com. And we use that software not just for this now. We do a lot of the production things through that. But now when the customer calls, we're just logged in and you can just see exactly where it is through the process and who is in charge of the process that it's in right now. So you're actually then going directly to the person who is where it's in their responsibility stage. And we're not going around asking five different people, did you touch it last or this one? No, this way. And you're just getting fingers pointed all different directions, wasting your time and efficiency. So for a small subscription fee, we can all communicate and be seamless. So it's actually a better, faster product for the customer. And we've done well because of it.
That's awesome. And now, since your sister has joined, I feel like it's truly a family business then.
Yes, fully.
Everyone's involved. And she's done a great job with your social media. I've seen how I came across it because Soccer Dave was tagged in something. And I
Yeah.
started to follow you, and it kind of trickled into this thing of looking around, like what businesses are here that are actually producing a product versus just a brick and mortar store.
Yeah.
And that's
Yeah.
where I'm out of my son's practice. I'm sitting there talking to one of the coaches and I'm helping him take apart one of your mannequins
Yes.
and helping him with that. And then I found it comical that it's coming full circle for me. It's like that's where we're at today. And but it's all because you guys are getting your name out there, and everyone who I have ran across speaks very highly of your business and who you guys are as a family and what you guys are doing. And to me, it's fascinating because as a parent with young kids, you can always go and jump on Amazon and go order something, it'll be here tomorrow or the next day. Well, we're a small community. I don't, we're not, yeah, we're a small community in DFW, but the soccer community is small.
Yes.
And when you start running across businesses and local things that are going on, it's to me, it's better to promote them than promoting the big guys that are out there or going, go promote something out. So how do you guys stay relevant more in the community? Because I've seen you guys, your product at camps now. I've seen you guys as I see your soccer balls everywhere. As you shared, like you saw your ball leaning against an apartment building in another state.
Yeah.
Do you guys work with partners in the community to more of an outreach, or do you guys more work with coaches and programs to help promote soccer differently?
We definitely have an arm and a leg and all those things, but it really goes back to the original foundation of treating people right. So when I treat everybody right from the get-go in any scenario, people want to spread the word. So I get to those people like Soccer Dave or PD1 or whoever, because someone else told them about me who I treated them right. And so I get into all these places that will help me grow because I just do people right. And that's not an overnight thing. You can't just snap your fingers and that's how it's, that's years and years of treating people right, and making a good name for ourselves for that to actually happen. Because like I said, no, at the very beginning, 17,000 or 17 years and whatever days took Messi to be an overnight success. It was all that hard work when nobody else was looking, to get you to that. To so all these years we've built up into finally now we're reaching so far beyond into all these little niches. And to give you an example of how that works, we sold some soccer goals to a, just by the luck of it, someone knew somebody who knew my dad as a soccer coach, and so they, he was highly respected, and it was somebody who had, who was in charge of buying soccer goals for the association. So they're buying large quantities, you know, 20 plus goals. It's a quite a large order, very expensive, high dollar order, and the associations are very tightly knitted. Like there are a lot of volunteers, and those people talk with each other. Where'd you get your goals from? Who's the most reliable? Things like that. And they rely on like their referrals, like friends referring people to other people. So this one association, I think it was during COVID or give or take, but it was hard to get goals or manufacturing in a decent amount of time. And we happened to to be able to produce goals pretty quickly. And this person said, talk to these people. They reached out to us. We executed faster than anybody else could with a, I mean, our goals are lifetime warranty too. Everybody's like, oh, quick goal, blah, blah. Like they're twice the price and we got the same warranty and we're both made in America. That's what you get when you have this high advertising budget, you got to raise your prices. That's why I like to not advertise, is to keep our prices affordable. And when we executed that, for that association, then the school needed soccer goals in that. So the school reached out to the association because they share their fields, you know, like on the weekends or whatever, the complex. And they're like, who'd you get your goals from or whatever? And they referred us to them. So that, and they needed like 30 goals for the whole ISD. So it was all the high schools, middle schools, maybe some stadiums or whatever that they share in between. So we got this giant 30 goal order. And then another association, who knows somebody, you know, that's across town, it's their time to buy goals, and they reach out to that person and go, hey, where are you getting your goals from? Here, this is where it is. So now we're reaching out to, now we're getting across the town. So I went from, you know, the city association to the high school, that to the ISD, and then now to we're just expanding. So that's how the outreach kind of has grown, is word of mouth when you treat people right. And I can promise you these orders didn't go smoothly all the time. There's, when you're dealing with large 24 foot long aluminum poles going into 18 wheeler packed with all other freight, like we execute on the manufacturing and the service side, but everything that happens like from it leaves the dock to your door is out of our hands. Like, I'm sorry, FedEx and UPS are never going to listen to me. They're just, they're big. They just don't care. And they, so it's how you act maybe on their behalf, because the customer doesn't know any of this stuff. So you just, troubleshoot the problem and you treat them with respect and you tell them just the truth. Like, I just found like being transparent, it's so much easier, and I don't have to remember anything because it's just, it's
Truth.
real. And I just tell the customer, I'm like, look, this is what happened. And I'm gonna make it right. And this is what I'm doing right now. And this is when I expect it to be done by. And this is when you'll have the replacement parts, because we have to file a claim. It takes some time. We have to show photos, and it has to be in a certain timeline. And we have to communicate that with the customer. And if they don't know that, then they kind of screw both of us. And it's a burden on me because then I feel guilty and I got to cover the cost, which is a huge loss. When UPS or FedEx could, or Old Dominion or whatever Freightliner it is, can do it, but they'll damage the goals. At least maybe if you're shipping 10, the chance of one pole getting bent by some ding dong forklift guy, probably a Friday afternooner, who's ready to go home, or is raining that day and he dented it. Customer opens it up, the crossbar's dented. We gotta get him a new one. And how you handle that is, like I said, he can turn a bad experience into a good one. And oftentimes, it's me going out actually to the field, making the repairs, checking them up, checking on the damage, what the damage actually is. So it's like hands free for them. So they say, hey, that we opened it up, there's an issue. And I basically just say, okay, I'll solve it for you. And I'll go out there, I'll take the pictures, I'll deal with the freight company, I'll get with the metal factory, have them remake it, repowder coat it, ship it back out. And then when it gets there, oftentimes I'll go and I'll install it for them. So it's literally just like no other company, I promise you, does that. And that's kind of where we're different. Now, I can't do that all the time because that's just unrealistic. But every chance I get, I do. I mean, I still make home deliveries, Ian. People will order locally and they have no idea that it's actually the owner of the business delivering the product. But I know, I'm like, man, I could save $50 to $75. So that's a win for me. And that route is maybe on my way home. So I can deliver like almost same day. So that's a win for the customer. It's like literally a win-win. And it's oftentimes like a fun experience because next thing you know, they got this random guy who doesn't look like a UPS or FedEx guy knocking on the door. And hey, I'm Jeremy with Soccer Innovations. I saw you ordered today. It's on my way home. Here. It's a chance for me to now get in front of the face of the customer. They see like, oh, holy cow, the actual business is coming to deliver same day. And they go and they tell everybody else. And therefore, my time going a little bit out of my way to deliver that product to them quickly. I save money. Now they're spreading the word about us on how we're different than any other business. So it's just taking those opportunities and capitalizing on them and making sure that's a win-win for the customer and for me. Because I'm always trying to think, how can I get my employees more money? I haven't gotten a raise in years, but everybody else gets raises and bonuses and all that kind of stuff. So I reinvest in my whole business without any personal gain of myself. But I think everybody keeps thinking I'm getting richer and richer, and I'm getting poorer and poorer as the dollar value keeps going down, and the exchange rates and all that stuff. A dollar doesn't go as far as it used to, and I'm still rocking the same dollar. Thankfully, I have a wonderful wife who has a really good job at Raising Cane's at the corporate office as a, I don't even know what the heck, she, instructional designer. Nobody ever knows what that is. She teaches people stuff, writes like trainings or whatever for the business, and she is able to take a lot of the burden off of me having to always be like the sole breadwinner all the time. And so I'm blessed for my home life to be able to help the actual business grow without having to be selfish and take a big paycheck when I can get by and my bills are paid. Just hustling, and I get to see all everybody else grow their business. I get to see my employees flourish, save money. I love it when they buy like new shoes or get a new car. It means I'm making a difference in people's lives or giving them an opportunity when everybody else wouldn't, or the responsibility. It's not always about money. And if you make it all about money, you'll never be happy internally. You want to find, a good happy medium of pay, respect, responsibility, ownership, what have you. I mean, I got Pam, who's like my right-hand woman here. She started just taking the front desk phone call. She played for my dad. And she worked her way up now to be like an invaluable asset. And I'm going to give her ownership for all this sweat equity and never leaving me and always going above and beyond anytime I needed it. I mean, she brought me my golf bag during 4th of July when I forgot it at home because I was so busy here at the office. I just totally forgot my golf bag to play with my dad and all my family in this little family golf tournament at my dad's house. And she got in her car, went to my house, which was probably like 45 minutes, an hour away, and then drove another hour and a half and dropped my golf bag off. And I tried to pay her and she wouldn't even take the money. Like that's the moments like that are like why I want to give in return. So I want to change her life for the better and make her an owner with me in the business. So it's a chance for people in small biz in general to have ownership of a business. If you just put in like sweat equity, you can really make your way up in the world without having to have a lot of money. You can put in effort over time and earn your way into a business. So I think that's another benefit of small business and working with small business or working at a small business where it doesn't always have to be money driven. You know, she's not gonna have to pay anything to own a business. She's just gonna step right in because she earned it. And she did that all herself. I didn't ask her to do that. That's just what I feel like is the right thing to do.
I love it. But I always ask this question at the end of every interview. Since you did play and you are part of the soccer community, I don't know if you coach at all, but if you do coach, this will be a three-prong question then. And it all kind of falls into place. I think I know the answer without even asking it. But at the end of the day, as a player, as a business owner, and if I don't know, I've never talked about if you coach or not, but if you do coach, since you do have
I
young
don't
kids,
coach. I used
okay,
to. I used
I'll leave
to.
that out of the equation then. Then as a player and as a business owner, who has been the greatest influence on you as an individual? Some people make family or a player or a coach or whoever it may have been, but I think I know the answer to this before I even
That
start.
one's a piece of cake. There's one person, my dad. Hands down, he changed my whole life, for the better. Even when it was, he could have easily just caved and said yes to certain things or whatever, or made my life really easy. He could have taken the easy way out for himself, which I think a lot of people do today. They just hand their kids an iPad and say, here, go play on the iPad so they can have their own personal time. My dad never gave in to that. He always had my best interest in mind, even at his detriment. And I know there was a time when my dad and my parents, but my dad is the strong head of the household, taking all the risk in his business. He when I didn't know at the time, looking back now I know, I got myself into a little bit of trouble, and it was a costly bit of trouble. And I didn't know my parents didn't have much money, but they found the money needed to make my situation right and never complained, and then took me around everywhere, like never got mad at me not one single thing. And that was a lesson that I learned. Like my dad is very particular in the small things, but when something really goes wrong, he's there to support you. And that's how I took that, and that's how I want to, maybe that's why I'm so calm in the, I mentioned earlier, in the hardest of times and the biggest times of pressure is when I see the most clear. And I think that's like I sweat the little details. I like the paper towels to be a certain way in the bathroom. So in the toilet paper, and everything has to be spick and span because my thought is it's not about me. It's about the one customer who has to come in here and use our bathroom. I want my bathrooms to be like Bucky's bathrooms, like. If I go into like a 7-Eleven bathroom and it's nasty, I automatically think the whole organization is not, holding a high standard. But if you come into my bathroom and it's clean as a whistle, you understand we must be running a good organization. And I want a great experience, even down to the bathroom, when you're coming into Soccer Innovations. And so it's those details that I care most about and that like bother me. But in the biggest and hardest of times, I am super calm. And I learned that situation from my dad and how he handled some of my situations growing up as a as a adrenaline junkie. You know, to put it down, I went off-roading, and I went off-roading in a public park, and I shouldn't have done it. And the police comes knocking on the door, and I got in big trouble. And I didn't know, I was young and dumb. You know, I just thought it was a random field, and who really cared? I didn't do like all that much damage to anything. It wasn't like r mud ruts or anything like that. It was just grass all over my car. And he turned a situation that I knew I was probably just gonna get my butt beat. And he was very calm about it. So I think that transferred to me. So that at that point I learned like there's a difference between the little things, sweating the little things, and being detail oriented, because devil's in the details, my mom says. But understanding in the hardest of times to find compassion and to gather your thoughts and be strong. So my dad is definitely the my greatest influence. My mom's not far behind. She's the one, she's kind of the glue, like I said, that when my dad would sweat the small things, my mom would kind of come in and defend me. That he's just a young, dumb kid. But I'm honestly think the most thankful for my dad just holding me to such a high standard that now, like, I feel like I can do anything. Like, it doesn't matter what it is, from engines to motors to home building to problems. Like I said yesterday, I was out wrenching for the whole day yesterday trying to get my truck, and I have this like race buggy all sorted for one. I needed to get to work first, and then two, I had plans for Easter, and I couldn't do it during the week because my whole week is devoted to the business. There's no personal life Monday through Friday. So the only time I get to myself to do this stuff is Saturday, Sunday. So I knew I was gonna be dedicated, so I had to get some of these things done. But my dad is the one who made me think that I can do anything and held me to it. So if I said I want to be an astronaut, he'd be like, why are you going to go out and hang with your friends? Shouldn't you be studying astronomy or rocket science or whatever? You know, like, don't you want to follow your dream? Your dream is greater. Your friends will always be there, but if you don't, you know, study astronomy now, you'll never open that door to be an astronaut. So he was always the one like pointing you know, in the right direction, and not letting you veer off too far. And he understood there's a little blurred lines in between that northern star or whatever. Just as long as you stay on that path, you'll be good. So I think my dad by far is the most valuable person, or influential and valuable person, who has made me who I am today. Giving me this opportunity. I wouldn't be sitting here having this chat if my dad had let me take over his business. And I didn't have to give him a dollar, Ian. It was sweat equity, which is why I pass it on to Pam, sweat equity, because that's how I got into this position. I didn't have any money. I still don't have a lot of money. I got a lot of money on paper, just not a lot of money in the bank account.
Hey everyone, I hope you all have enjoyed this week's episode of Chat by the Pitch. This week was another great episode with Jeremy. I absolutely adore this family. I enjoy watching their social media posts that Christine does, Jeremy's sister. I like what Jeremy is doing with Soccer Innovation, how involved they are in the community. Everything they're doing is absolutely amazing, and I give them props for everything they're trying to accomplish. If you're looking for a small business to support, this is one I would recommend. If you are like me, you want all the cool soccer toys so your kids can play with them. They are a great company to buy them from. They're durable, they're local. You can even pick them up if you're impatient like me. So give them a shout out, give them a look, give them a chance.
Hey everyone, if you guys have enjoyed this podcast, have enjoyed what I've been trying to do, the messages that I'm putting out there, please give me some ratings, some stars on all the podcast sites that you listen to this on. give me a review, share this, share with others. The more I can make this grow, the more I can continue doing this. I'm really trying to make a difference in our soccer community. So I hope you guys have enjoyed all this. And until next time, I'll see you at the pitch.